one final fiqh point before we conclude the first half of our khutbah, and that is, who does not fast? Who does not fast? Who has a legitimate excuse for not fasting? There are four categories of people who have a legitimate excuse. My dear brothers and sisters, unfortunately, we have a problem now where people become too lax and they simply assume that fasting is not necessary for the most trivial reason. No, fasting is one of the arkan of Islam. Fasting is one of the obligations of Islam. Fasting was revealed in the very second year of the Hijrah. After the Prophet emigrated, the very first thing that came in after Salah was fasting and zakat. They both came down right after the hijrah by a few months. They came down, and fasting is an obligation upon every single Muslim who is capable of doing so. There are four categories of those who are excused from the fasting. The first and the most common one is the woman in her monthly cycle, or after she delivers and she is bleeding in that portion, the nifas months. So the woman in her hayd, in her menses, and the woman in her nifas, such a lady obviously does not fast, and she makes it up later on. Now, my dear sisters in Islam, do not play around with the sharia of Allah. Many sisters are lazy. When their menses finish, they think they can delay the fast simply by not performing the ghusl, by delaying the full ritual ablution. Allah Azza wa Jal knows when your menses finish, and you know as well. And when your menses finish, the very next day you must begin your fast. In fact, if your menses finish even 5 minutes before the Fajr Adhan, the time of Imsak, and you know the sign, which is the whitest discharge, if your menses finish 5 minutes before the Adhan of Fajr, then legally, even if you do not take the ghusl, you must fast that day. So keep this point in mind and monitor the end of the month. You all know your cycles, you all know your routines. Towards the end of the month, monitor and realize that if it finishes, wake up the day that you think it's going to finish, wake up before Fajr to make sure that in fact it has finished or not finished. Because if it has finished, then that day is obligatory on you, and it is not allowed to play games with the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first category. The second category are men and women who are sick and traveling. And this category, it is permissible for you to fast. It is permissible for you to leave the fast. It's up to you. But the better thing to do is that if fasting is a hardship, then you should not fast. If fasting complicates your medical problem, if fasting is a hardship during travel, and you know best, travel is relative. For some of us, traveling is an hour and a half drive in the air-conditioned car. In such a case, maybe don't break the fast if you don't want to. Sometimes traveling involves a 15-hour journey across the globe, in which case fasting will be a big problem. You know best. And our Prophet ﷺ said, it is not righteousness to fast while traveling, meaning if it's difficult to fast, Allah will not reward you if you're causing hardship when you are fasting during travel. You decide. If it's a piece of cake, if it's easy, then go ahead and fast. Also, in terms of sickness, what constitutes a legitimate sickness? The response is common sense will tell you. You don't need to go to a doctor or even an alim. Common sense will tell you. If you have a little bruise or cut on your finger, that's not going to cause you to not fast. But if you have a high fever, subhanAllah, you need your liquids, you need to drink all day long, you need this, you need that. A high fever definitely is an excuse for leaving the fast and then making it up on a later day. You know, use your better judgment. What sickness is such that it will complicate the fast if I continue fasting? And there might be some gray areas here and there. You're not quite sure. So go ahead and attempt in the morning to fast. If you feel you're getting a more strong headache or this or that, your sickness is being complicated, then break the fast, and Allah Azza wa Jal is forgiving and merciful. Also, there are gray areas of certain medical issues such as diabetes and others. I cannot give you a blanket fatwa. Go to a Muslim doctor. And why do I say Muslim doctor? Because a Muslim will understand the obligation of fasting. Not that we don't trust a non-Muslim doctor, but a non-Muslim does not understand how important fasting is. A Muslim doctor will understand how important fasting is. So if you're diabetic, or if you have a chronic illness in this regard, go to a Muslim reputable doctor so that the Muslim doctor can weigh between, you know, in your case, if you have a heavy meal with these and these ingredients, and then you break your fast at the appropriate time, inshallah, it's okay. So the Muslim doctor can tell you this. Because the Muslim doctor has experience of fasting, and he knows the obligation of fasting. So if there are areas such as diabetes, such as other things of this nature, then go seek counsel with a health professional who understands the obligations of fasting. This is the second category, sickness and traveler. The third category of those who don't have to fast are those who are permanently sick or those who are too elderly and weak to fast. Permanently sick, severe case of diabetes. Severe case of diabetes. He cannot remain without food for 5 hours, let's say. Khalas. So Allah's Sharia has not come to kill people or to make life difficult. For such a person, somebody who is very old, 70, 80 years old, he doesn't have it in him to fast. For such a person, the fasting is forgiven. And he will have to give a fidya, which is feeding one person one meal per day that he doesn't fast. And the average fidya in America is between $8 to $10. If you want to be safe, give $10. If you give $8 a day, no problem. And you have to give fidya according to the land you're living in. Don't calculate fidya based upon Pakistan or Bangladesh. Calculate fidya based upon America because you're living here. You may send it to Pakistan or Bangladesh, but it has to be $8 a day, not 8 rupees a day. Because you're living in this land, so your fidya is calculated according to this. And this is the third category. The final category, and then we conclude our first khutbah. The final category is the category that's a bit of an ikhtilaf over, and that is women who are pregnant and women who are feeding children. This category is where many women show laxity. The fact of the matter is, an average, healthy, young lady who is pregnant or who is feeding should not really have an excuse to break the fast. However, if the doctor says, or if she herself feels fainting or whatnot, then yes, we understand, and so the Sharia will allow her to break the fast. Nonetheless, an average young healthy lady who is pregnant or who is feeding a child, generally speaking, should not just jump to the conclusion, I don't have to fast. Because the fasting, generally speaking, should not harm her situation. Nonetheless, let her seek the advice of her own professional counselor. And also, again, let's encourage a Muslim doctor who understands the importance of fasting. If the doctor feels, and if she as well feels, that fasting will not be possible, then she may avoid the fast, but she will have to make up the days that she has missed. She cannot give money because her ruling is the ruling of the one who was sick or traveling. That is, she will overcome the sickness, she will come back to a regular state, and she will then have to fast all of the days. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And also, here we are complaining. Wallahi, I cannot imagine the Sahaba could not change their schedule at all. They would have to wake up the same time, go to the hot fields, the same mornings that they would go before Ramadan, work in that environment, in the dust, in the desert, no air conditioning, no cooling, no temperature climate. They'd have to work exactly as they worked out in the hot desert for the entire day. We have 8 hours of work. They didn't have these 8 hour schedules. They would have to work for their bellies and their children's rizq throughout the day. I don't know how they managed it. Here we are, air-conditioned rooms, air-conditioned cars. We jump out of the car right into the masjid, from the masjid straight back into our places of work, all of them air-conditioned. No matter what it is, alhamdulillah, it is doable. Yet it is difficult for us. So please, make sure you drink lots of water throughout the night. Make sure that it is a part of your routine that we don't get dehydrated throughout the day. This is advice for all of us. Advice for our sisters, my dear sisters in Islam. No doubt in this month, certain obligations are added upon you that are not very good. And that is the obligations, I say it in quotation marks, of extra cooking. And this is not appropriate. Nonetheless, the culture has become this way, that Ramadan has become a month of cooking and a month of cuisine. And it is a sad reality. This is the case. Nonetheless, try your best, sisters, to negotiate with the families, with the husbands, at least a few days if you can. Concentrate extra on ibadah and worship. This whole month should not just become an extra cooking and cleaning. That's not the purpose of the month. Also realize, my dear sisters, that just because you're in your monthly cycle doesn't mean the month has stopped. You can still do lots of things, dua and dhikr and studying. Lots of things can be done that will be rewarded more. So even if you're in your monthly cycle and you cannot fast, that doesn't mean you cannot do anything else. There are many ways and opportunities to come closer to Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this month of Ramadan our best Ramadan ever. Allahumma inni da'in fa'amminu.